May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. There they are, Mary and Joseph, a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger, some animals, donkey, goats, lowing cattle. All of this in a manger of some kind. And then along come a few shepherds bringing their somewhat smelly sheep. It's an image that you've seen dozens, if not hundreds, either in your mind's eye, on a Christmas card, or a physical nativity scene like we have in the front of the church. But what do you think about when you pick the nativity? It's lowly. It's quaint. Peaceful. It's perhaps beautiful in its simplicity. But isn't it a little bit boring? I mean, really, there's not a whole lot to see there. There's a man and his much younger wife, or we think it's his wife. There's a baby. Everybody loves babies, not King Herod. Animals, smelly shepherds. I'm not sure it's a great idea to give birth in a cattle stall and lay your baby in a feeding trough. That can't be very sanitary. Don't you think Christmas needs to be amped up a little bit? What Christmas needs is some glitz and some glamour. It needs ribbons and bows. It needs cookies and eggnog. It needs happy feelings and happy people. That's what happens when you see the nativity only superficially. It doesn't seem to be very festive. And so we feel the need to add things in to Christmas. Christmas becomes about getting that new iPhone or Xbox. It becomes about lights and concerts. It becomes about family gatherings or whatever Christmas becomes about. It becomes about traditions that have very little to do with Jesus. You see this in our world today. You may even see it in your own homes today. But there is more to that nativity scene than meets the eye. Much more. In the end, it's not really about lowing cattle or shepherds or mangers or even Mary and Joseph, but it's about the Christ child. A king has been born. Not only the king of the Jews, but the king of the entire universe. Your king has been born, quite literally God. God is lying in a feeding trough. God the Creator has come into his creation in the meekest, most humble way he could have chosen. God the Creator has come. God comes as your brother. Finally, nothing else matters except that God has been born. In the person of Jesus Christ. The eternal Son has been born in time, born of a virgin. God, who is spirit, has put on human flesh. Flesh like yours and mine. Flesh that needed to be wrapped up to protect him from the cold. Flesh that nursed at his mother's breast. Flesh that was raised and trained by his earthly father, Joseph, even though his heavenly Father dwelt in heaven. Flesh that walked and talked and ate and drank. Flesh that died. He's just like you and me, but so much more than you and me, for that man was sinless. It's truly a mystery beyond our comprehension, this incarnation. And it begs the question, why? Why would God do this? Why would God descend from majesty and glory and honor in heaven, descend to this messed up world to dwell and live with the likes of you and me? Why? The angels answer that question for us. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Notice they don't say a rabbi or a teacher or a prophet or a king, although Jesus is all of these things, but first and foremost, a Savior. Not a guru or a life coach or just some really nice guy or an example for us to just follow, but a Savior. This infant comes to save you, comes to save you from yourself, from Satan, from your sin, from eternal death. He comes to save you because you need saving, and the Father loves you. He comes to bring peace among those with whom he is well pleased, you and I, all those who believe in his name. He comes to bring peace between you and God by his death on the cross and resurrection from the dead. And every Sunday, he comes here. He comes here in this place to feed you his word, to feed you his very body and blood. As the shepherds that first Christmas morn, quote, made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child and returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Even so, in this place, we make known all that has been told to us about this Savior, about Christ the Lord, who has come among us in the flesh. And we glorify and we praise God for all of these things. And we treasure them in our hearts, as did Mary. Now, what goes on here on a Sunday morning may not look particularly exciting. It may look a little boring, much like that nativity scene. We may be tempted to glitz it up a bit, make it more appealing somehow. You may come here expecting an emotional high. You may come expecting the pastor to give you all sorts of practical advice. You may come expecting people that are always happy all the time. But you will not find these things. Instead, here you will find sinners repenting and needing forgiveness. Here you will find people with a deep joy in the knowledge that their sins are forgiven and that they are heirs of eternal life. Here you will find the Word of God confessed and taught and proclaimed, both the parts that you like and the parts that you don't like. Here you will find the liturgy, the basic form of which Christians have used to worship for centuries. But most importantly, you will find the Christ child. You will find your Savior, the Savior who came into the world as a man that first Christmas, continues to come to us through his word, in your baptisms, through the forgiveness of sins, and in the body and the blood. It's all rather ordinary, but there is much more going on than meets the eye. In the name of Jesus, amen.